You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 139, and today Jason is out. It's been quite a busy week for both of us, and we've been a little bit behind lately in our recording schedule, so we don't have any episodes ahead at this current moment. We'll get that corrected soon. And I gotta give a huge shout out to my podcasting partner, Jason, because he this week was invited to speak on the topic of abortion and God's design for human life at one of the major universities in the state of Oregon. And so he went boldly into a hostile environment to be able to present the truth of God and, of course, the gospel that that truth points to. And so huge shout out to Jason for that. The dude is a stud. Absolutely just an incredible man. I have unbelievable respect for him. So we will give him a pass for today, because not only is he doing that or did that this week, but he also is preaching two different sermons, two different days this week, and also trying to be a good husband and father in the mix. And so the man is really busy. I don't know how he does it. As a single guy, don't have a wife and kids and don't deal with that. And I just marvel at a guy like Jason that is able to be a pastor and to work and to serve and love and care for people in the ministry context. And then, of course, still be a good husband and father and genuinely invested as the spiritual leader of his home. All of that's just incredible. So huge and profound respect for Jason. But that's not actually what I want to talk about today. I want to actually talk about an issue that's been drawing a lot of attention in social media this week. And we don't normally talk on this podcast about, you know, the hot topics of the day, the things that are just being debated. Basically, we don't use this podcast to chase after every controversy that's going on in the world. I mean, we obviously speak about biblical things, issues, and topics, and sometimes that draws us into areas that are more conflicted or draw more skepticism in this world or cause, you know, people issues in this modern day and age in which here, at least in the United States, people don't like to be told they're wrong, and they don't like to be told there's absolute truth, and they don't like to be told anything but you can be whatever you want, you can believe whatever you want, you can do whatever you want. And of course, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then obviously that is not the attitude and perspective that we hold or have, and we should be a little bit different. But I wanted to talk about this particular issue because it's one that to some degree actually does get me fired up. And that's over this question or topic of modesty. And if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that Jason and I, we've talked about things like purity culture and, you know, some of the issues with purity culture in the life of the church, primarily the purity culture of the 90s and early 2000s and how that played out. And while the heart and intention was good, so much of that maybe wasn't. And Jason kind of had a more specific example of that in terms of his life growing up in the church and youth group and all that sort of stuff. But from my perspective, while there is definitely issues with purity culture, or there was with purity culture, I don't know if it's a was or is, if it's still predominant in the church or not. But this issue of modesty it's a serious issue, and I think we should really seriously think about this. So this episode is going to be speaking specifically to Christians, to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Primarily, we're talking to women here, but of course, we're talking to men here as well, because purity is not just something that is a female thing, modesty is not just something that's a female thing. Modesty applies to men as well. I mean, what that looks like might be a little bit different, but it's still a thing and still should be talked about. And I want to maybe just offer it as thoughts from a Christian brother, just encouraging, here's what I think on the perspective. And I'm going to speak kind of open and bluntly and honestly in a way that, you know, we don't often as a church culture. And that might be uncomfortable for some of you, but I apologize for those that it is. I'll also say, in terms of as a warning, if you are a avid feminist, then you may want to click off this episode because it's going to really tick you off. And I'm okay with that, because here's the deal. I am not an avid feminist, at least not feminism in the second wave sense from a historic perspective. Nothing good, in my opinion, has come from second wave feminism, which is, of course, not about equality and the value of persons. It's all about all these liberal, secular, progressive evils, in my opinion, that have come forth in the life of the church, in the life of culture and society, and ultimately has led to so many things like the sexual revolution and abortion and all these things that have helped no one and only torn down society and not build it up or not deal with legitimate issues and struggles. And so, why talk about modesty? Well, as most of you know, if you pay attention to social media at all, I have a pretty low social media footprint, and yet at the same time, I've still seen this issue going on. It started with, there's a pastor from somewhere, I don't know the man or know anything about him, but he apparently posted a tweet, which I'm not even on Twitter, but I heard about it, read about it, saw people respond to it. And he tweeted saying, "Dear ladies, there is no reason whatsoever for you to post pictures of yourself in low-cut shirts, bikinis, bras, and underwear, or anything similar ever. Not to show your weight loss journey, not to show your newborn baby, not to document your birth story, your brother." And that was the whole tweet, which to me sounds completely benign in terms of an actual comment. But of course, all the feministas in culture and all the woke church feministas jumped in and started attacking this man and created this huge issue. Even people like Beth Moore, who, from my opinion, is in the warn the church category. The woman is awful and has moved so far from good biblical truth that she's, you know, a heretic, really, in my opinion. She's moved so far from Christian orthodoxy and the Word of God and become what we call a narcissus, somebody who reads themselves as the dominant point of the story in God's Word and then creates a whole new narrative around that. Not good, but her and so many others have attacked this person and attacked this chauvinism in the church, this men forcing women or putting their responsibility onto women and blah, 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 blah. I mean, obviously you can tell I think this stuff is nonsense in all reality. Because here's the thing. First of all, nobody is saying that women are responsible for men's minds, hearts, and bodies. Nobody is saying that. You, as a man, if you're listening to this episode, hear me saying this. You, as a man, are completely responsible for your mind, your heart, your body before the Lord. And God holds you responsible for how you manage your mind, your heart, and your body before the Lord. Not only that, the Lord holds you responsible for how you treat the women who are your sisters in Christ. From a biblical perspective, there's only two categories, right? There is sisters in Christ and there's a wife. That's it. Those are the only relationships that men have with women in the Bible. That's the only biblically appropriate and healthy relationships in the Bible. So either they're your sisters in Christ or it's your wife that you're married to. If you're dating somebody, you're still treating them as your sisters in Christ because you don't have the oneness that only comes in marriage from a biblical perspective. You're not having sexual relationships. You're not doing those kind of things. I grant you that a dating relationship, you are more personally involved emotionally, spiritually, than you are with just your run-of-the-mill sister in Christ. But in terms of categories, there is no other categories in the Bible. And so you as a man are absolutely responsible for your own purity before the Lord. You're absolutely responsible for how you treat the women around you, how you interact with them, and how you involve yourself with them. Nobody is disagreeing with that. I've never heard supposedly women say that, oh, there's all these men out there saying it's all women's fault. I've never heard that. So I don't know if it's actually a thing or not. But from my perspective, and I know Jason would agree with this as well, we're not saying that. And we're not believing that. We fully recognize that we as men are completely responsible for our own hearts, our own minds, our own bodies. Okay, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, which that is a baseline, it's important, but it is a baseline to put aside this straw man argument that Beth Moore and her woke feministas are pushing on us, which is that we're blaming women for our what's our responsibility as men. That's not what's happening. And I don't see in this tweet, in this post by this pastor, anything that seems to be saying that. What he's asking you to do, what he's asking his sisters in Christ to do, is to consider the effect that they're having on men. And whether they understand that or not, whether they see that or not, here's the deal. Yes, it's our responsibility to not lust, to be pure before the Lord. However, there is a responsibility on all people, this is not just women, on all people, to respect their brothers and sisters. And so there's a lot of things we do not do because it would offend or affect our brother or sister in Christ, offend their walk with Christ, or affect their walk with Christ. You know, Paul in Philippians chapter 2, he says, each of you should look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others, right? There is a part of us as the church, as believers in Jesus, that we look out for other people and we do everything in our possibility to keep from stumbling. So yeah, I've heard the arguments, well, women can wear nothing provocative or sexual or revealing, and men can still lust over us. That's true. I'm not disagreeing with that. That is absolutely the truth. However, when you dress in an immodest way or in a provocative way, like he pointed out in this post, he says that women are doing this because they're showcasing their weight loss journey, or they're showcasing their newborn baby, or they're documenting a birth story, or, you know, all these kinds of different things. And I totally know what he's talking about because I've seen these posts as well. I've seen women wear bras and underwear on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on, you know, all these sites. And yeah, in their mind, maybe I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to say that they genuinely believe that they're only posting, you know, because they're excited about their weight loss journey, or they're excited about their new baby, or they're, you know, that their motivation is good. However, for us guys, we don't look at that and go, oh, wow, look at that weight loss journey. That's wonderful. And here's the thing. If you don't have a brother, don't have a father, don't have a man speaking honestly into your life, there's something you need to know about us, which is when it comes to sexual things, we as men are wired by God. I think this is a wiring of God because it seems to be universal. This seems to be true for all men, that we are very visual. We're sexually excited visually, not emotionally so much, but visually. I mean, there is an emotional component to sexual desire and arousal template and all these sort of things. But primarily, we are visually driven. And I believe the Bible speaks to this reality, so understand it. And what we take in with our eyes can have a pretty profound effect on us in that way. And here's the thing, this is the kicker, and this is something I've told like my own sisters, and they were surprised to hear it, is us guys, when we see something sexually stimulating or arousing, it only takes 1 second of seeing that thing and we can remember it forever. I know, that's crazy, right? I wish I could remember that well, everything. I wish I could remember God's word that well and memorize God's word that well, that it only takes a second to look at it that I can remember it for the rest of my life. But that is the truth when it comes to sexual things for us guys. When we see a woman that's sexually arousing in a sexual way, meaning they're showing off their body or something like that, we will remember that or have the possibility to remember that for the rest of our lives. Now, I'm not saying that we as godly people do not work hard to renew our mind in Christ, right? Romans chapter 12. We are called to renew our mind and to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Meaning, it is your responsibility as a man not to dwell on those images, not to think about that. But it is very destructive and it is very difficult for us. So let's say you're in a context. Let's say we're talking about youth group at the church and a woman comes in a low cut top or, you know, something like that that's very arousing. It's the man's responsibility, yes, to not look at that, to not think about that, to turn those thoughts over to the Lord, saying, okay, God, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want my mind to wander those places. Lord, help me to take every thought captive and help me to focus on what I need to be focused on. So you immediately stop looking that direction, and you're trying to focus on good, godly, wholesome things. However, there's a part of your brain that is very aware that that woman is still there and is very aware that you want to look that direction. You want to see, you want to take in that imagery. And that part is still there in the back of your mind the entire time you're there. And this doesn't just happen with, you know, a woman in a context like that. Another example would be there is a topless coffee shop in my hometown. There's a topless coffee shop. And you know where it's at. You know what road it's on. And when you turn down that road, when you have to go that direction, then you always look to the other side of the street because I want to honor the Lord. I don't want to look that direction. Yet, every single time I turn on that street, I instinctively look the other direction. Yet in the back of my mind, there's always that awareness that that coffee shop is over there. If I just look to the left, it's just right over there. And now the solution, of course, is we turn those thoughts over to the Lord. And then, of course, I try to avoid that street as much as possible because we don't even want to go anywhere near temptation like that. And yet, it's still a thing. And so, I guess what I'm trying to accomplish here is not to berate anybody or tear anybody down, but really to encourage women to think through what is the effect that this has on my brother in a greater way than just, yeah, you're responsible for your own thinking. Okay, but how can I actively avoid the things that are so obvious? I mean, honestly, there's no reason a woman needs to be dressed immodestly other than to get sexual attention. And here's the thing. You don't get the kind of attention you want. You don't get love and respect and value from men when you're dressing in sexual ways. That's a lie of our culture, that it liberates you and creates this value for you. That's this high point of feminism and equal value and blah, blah, blah. That's all lies from our culture. There is nothing, at least I can say from a man's perspective, there is nothing about being sexually provocative that causes us as men to respect you more. Sure, we're thinking about you. Sure, we're going to give you attention probably, but it's not because we value you more, respect you more. It's because we're thinking more sexually about you, or more drawn to that, or more drawn to you for sexual reasons. That's not good for you, and it's not good for us. And I guess part of the concern here is there's no real recognition that we have a very over-sexualized culture that even tells women that this is how you get respect, this is how you get admiration, this is how you get love and affection and all these sort of things. And yet it doesn't. And then on the other side, we just have this over-sexualized culture where it's just everywhere. Sex and sexual imagery is everywhere. I mean, even just this morning on Facebook, I go on Facebook and I see all these ads in the sidebar that are very sexual in nature, and they're only there because it's the lead up to Valentine's Day. And so all the companies are marketing sexual things to you. And it's like, come on, guys, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to see those things because they draw my mind to places, or invite my mind to places, tempt my mind to places that I really don't want to go, because I do want to honor the Lord. And then another part of this, and this is not, again, this is not the responsibility of women, but because we live in this broken culture and sexual issues are so prevalent, I've seen many studies from reputable sources that say, you know, 69% of men, even in the church, struggle with what we would define as sexual addiction through primarily pornography, masturbation, stuff like that, but also, you know, sexual relationships and affairs and you name it, it's all out there. And it's a real problem, even for believers. Because when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He doesn't just miraculously free you from all your areas of sin and temptation. And now, I mean, God has the power to do that. He certainly could do that. And I think in some cases, God really does. For His glory, He will free people from addictions and struggles and issues and whatever. But for the vast majority of people and for the vast majority of the time, I really do believe that the Lord wants us to grow in Him, to seek after Him, to be able to grow and change and be transformed into the Son, or into the likeness of the Son. A good example of that is John chapter 15, verse 5. You know, Jesus has been saying that He is the vine and we are the branches, and if we abide in Him, we will bear much fruit. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. We're not able. It is not that we are doing or bringing about our sanctification, and it's not like we take our sanctification with us. And so we accept Christ, but we still struggle with issues. And I can say from my own personal experience, as somebody who has struggled with sexual sin in the past, struggled with things like pornography and masturbation and sinful things like that, it's a real challenge. It's a real process to renew the mind, to learn a different way of living, to learn to handle the spiritual, emotional, physiological aspects of all these things in a way that honors and glorifies God. And of course, God's word speaks to all these things, but that doesn't mean that it's not a really hard process of seeking the Lord and seeking to be, to not be giving into idolatry, not looking for satisfaction or completion in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, or emotionally recognizing what is driving this and responding in a way where we are seeking relationship with the Lord and relationship with other brothers and sisters in a healthy and appropriate way. And then, of course, just understanding how our bodies were designed by God and responding in a way that brings glory to God. And so we already have this backdrop of an over-sexualized culture and an over-sexualized church and men that, by and large, struggle with addiction already or struggle with serious sexual sin already. And then you add into the mix that the very people that should be your greatest allies in this are the ones that actually cause some more additional harm. I mean, really, in the church, we should be a place that is where we get help and encouragement and support outside the desires and designs of this world. It's a place where we encourage each other to seek after the Lord, to walk as He calls us to walk, to live as He calls us to live. And so often we're not that for each other. And of course, that's a much greater conversation than just as it relates to morality and how we dress and how we act. But all this to say that there is a degree to which, you know, I look at a debate like this and it makes me so sad that women in the church are so reluctant to just really help their brothers out in these ways. And I would say the same thing for men. There's a lot of men in the church that are not helping their sisters out in this as well. And so I'm not ignoring that at all. I definitely think it goes equally both ways. It's just more obvious in this way, I feel like, because, well, for one, I'm a man, and so I understand that. That's part of it. But then the other thing is, you know, when it comes to dressing, honestly, it's a small thing. It's a small thing, and yet it's a small thing that does such a huge thing. And so why not just go along with some obvious things? One of the things I really appreciated about my sisters growing up is they were always really responsive when, you know, I would tell them as a brother in Christ, hey, you may not want to dress like that because that kind of, you know, causes guys to think this way or that way or whatever. And or they would hear that from other guys. They were always really responsive to not demand their rights. Like, I have the right to dress this way, which of course you do. Or, oh, that's completely your responsibility. What you do with, you know, how I dress, that's on you, which is also true. But to really just say, hey, you know what? It's a small thing. I really don't need to wear this, at least not in this context. Maybe if I'm hanging out with, you know, my girls or something like that, this would be okay and appropriate. But in this context, I'm not going to do that just because I want to respect and value the people around me and support them. And I really appreciate that a lot. I mean, I know I'm just their brother, but I always appreciated that a lot, that was never, you know, something that you'd go. I mean, we would have conversations like this where, like, one time we were talking about wearing leggings out as pants outside the house. And I'm like, I don't really think that's a good idea, because here you have really tight pants that, you know, really show everything. You see the outlines of everything and you see everything. And that really just not great. And I pointed to the example of, what if I, as a man, just wore compression shorts as shorts and just went out in public? Nobody would be comfortable with that, because they're really basically underwear. They're really tight, tight shorts that, again, would showcase everything and would not be, in my opinion, very modest or appropriate for me to do as a man. And I wouldn't want to disrespect people like that. And just, you know, recognizing those things, I think, really just helps. At least it did for my sisters, to just see, like, oh, wow, yeah, I can totally see how that makes sense. And not do it. And not just, this is your problem. It's my right. I'm going to do whatever I want. Because honestly, that is not true femininity from a biblical perspective. A true biblical woman is not somebody who tries to force their own rights over the good of other people. It's somebody who says, you know what? I have the strength of saying, hey, I want to respect my brothers and sisters. I want to respect the people around me. And so I'm going to give up this little bit of right. Maybe I want to do this. Maybe I think it's totally fine. Maybe it doesn't bother me at all. But I recognize that it is makes things harder for other people. And I don't want to do that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.